Of course you do. Now back to Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports back for a Monday afternoon. Hanging out till 6 tonight. Got ESPN Radio coming up after the show. Like I mentioned before, Cubs and Braves back on the airwaves tomorrow. Cubs baseball all season long here on 1600 ESPN. What you got over there?
We forgot to say one name for LVP, too.
We did.
Wemby, what the hell are you doing, man?
Oh, I thought you were...
what the heck are you doing,
yeah,
man?
You got to be smarter than that. And I understand, like, the Spurs are trying to frame it as frustration.
Which I can see some of it, yeah.
But I don't know, like, how...
It was still excessive.
Like, right. You can't just elbow a guy in the throat. And it's just, I don't, yeah. You got to be smarter than that. And I know he's, you know, still young.
Right.
And still learning the game. I thought it was kind of funny. I was watching that game last night and he taps Harrison Barnes on the shoulder. Like, what does flagrant two mean? You can see a mouth to Harrison Barnes. And Barnes is like, that means you're ejected.
He goes, I'm ejected?
I'm ejected? Okay. And then he fires up his team. And you know, the Spurs did pretty well to start that second half. The Wolves really weren't able to seize control until late in that game, where Edwards had the crazy fourth quarter, 16 points in the fourth, 36 overall. But, yeah, you just got to be smarter than that. You can't do that.
I think part of the reason why it was just so crazy is because Wemby, so early on in his career, has seemed so thoughtful already. Like, not even just specifically about basketball, but, like, understanding, like, what fan interaction, stuff like that. And then other things that he just kind of talks about on his own, whether it's like him doing mental math, stuff like that. Like, he's just a very thoughtful person and everything that he sort of does, that having that sort of extreme lash out reaction was just so, it was caught everyone off guard. And I don't think anyone really saw that coming. And you just got, like you said, got to be smarter than that.
This is Mitch Johnson, the head coach of the Spurs, talking about Wemby's ejection. You'll hear him say, yeah, well, yeah, we understand. You know, he's got to be smarter than that. Basically, it sounds kind of like excuse making to me, just listening to this clip.
It's getting to a point that if the people that are in charge of controlling the game and protecting the physicality of the game don't do that, then at some point he's going to have to protect himself. We've been asking him to do that now for a while. So that call, I'm glad Naz Reid was okay and sounded like the call was warranted. But in terms of the game plan of every single team we face since that young man's been in the league, and the physicality that people try to impose on him and the lack of protection is really disappointing. And at some level, it's starting to get actually disgusting, just in terms of when he tries to fight through things and be professional and mature and deal with some of that stuff. I'm glad he took matters into his old hands. Again, not in terms of hitting Naz Reid, but let me be very clear about that. I'm glad Naz Reid was okay, and I didn't want him to elbow him. But he's going to have to protect himself if they're not, and I think it's disgusting.
He's going to have to protect himself. He shouldn't have hit Naz Reid, this, that, and the other thing. But he's going to have to protect himself. It's like, yeah, trying to talk out of both sides of his mouth there. Like,
Which one is it? Yeah.
I heard ESPN on Sportsman like talking about this morning. Then maybe you need an enforcer.
Yeah.
On the team, right? Last I checked, those are never illegal.
So what you want about Draymond, but he understood what he was supposed to do, which was protect Steph and Clay and KD when he was there.
Right.
Like, whatever you, he got into, he took it over the line several times, but that was his role. That's his role, is to take it over the line a couple of times to make sure that you don't mess with those guys.
And maybe the Spurs clearly need that if they think that. And the Wolves' strategy has been effective, right? Get into Wemby's head, make him do stuff that's abnormal, right? And you know that happened last night. Got into his head, got into his mind a little bit, made him react in a way that was immature and kind of hurt them. Maybe that's the strategy moving forward. I don't know. But the Spurs need to. The Spurs will regroup. I think this is another one of those, kind of like game one was. I think it's one of those wake-up call kind of games for them. But the Wolves have it tied up at two. It's anybody's game, best two out of three, right? Two of those games are in San Antonio, but they've shown they can win in San Antonio. We'll see how it all plays out. 319-366-1600. Here is a clip. I meant to play this earlier. Anthony Edwards talking about their approach going to San Antonio for for game five, which is coming up tomorrow.
Now it's just take it one game at a time, try to figure out how to get a win. That's the only thing that's on my mind right now, trying to figure out how to get a win. You know, they're going to have Wimby back. He's going to come in with a lot of energy. So just, you know, watch some film together and try to figure it out.
Wolves, a winner last night. That game coming up tomorrow in the NBA playoffs. We'll preview the rest of the postseason coming up later on in the show here on 1600 ESPN. I thought you were going to you were saying I forgot to mention Doc Rivers. The LVP emeritus.
There is that too.
I mean, if they had just lost a couple more games, they wouldn't have been 10 in the lottery. Simple as that. 319-366-1600. That'll wrap up the first hour of the show. Got full drive time coming up next here on 1600 ESPN. MLB hot or not list. Also, we'll talk about the draft lottery. Let Isaac have his day in the sun. And we'll wrap up the show with the sports menu. That and more on the way here on 1600 ESPN. Stay tuned.
Plus the latest on the NBA playoffs and overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
From 11 to 2 on 1600 ESPN. Live and local sports talk for your ride home. It's Drive Time with Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Drive Time for a Monday, just like every day, driven by our friends at Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Stop at one of their three locations. You can find them in Iowa City, North Liberty, or in Grinnell. And check them out at LinderTire.com. Got a link to their site on our site at KGYMRadio.com. 319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports with you here for another hour or so. Turn you over to ESPN Radio after the show tonight. Hanging out 4 till 6, like always, here on 1600 ESPN. I mentioned kind of an odd week schedule-wise for the show. I'll tell you more about that before 6 tonight, just to prepare you, the listener, for when the show will be on. Be on for the first half of the week, second half of the week. Got some time off, but we'll keep you up to date. I like to keep you in the loop. I can't let you fully behind the curtain because that's not what we do here in radio, but for those of you that listen to the show on the regular, I want to make sure you know what you're hearing. Simple as that. It's my courtesy to you. As your radio friend here on 1600 ESPN, I want to make sure you know what's happening on your favorite sports radio station. I don't know why I'm talking like this. Just kind of filling the space-time continuum, the radio waves with something here on 1600 ESPN. We'll get to our What You Missed at Work segment here in just a moment. Also on the way, the MLB Hot or Not list. Gonna do that every Monday here on the program throughout the summer months here. And we'll circle back to some hoops and talk about the draft lottery. Isaac only had a few seconds to bask in the glory of moving up in the lottery. My team stayed positive or stood pat at number 10. No luck of the lottery. They did not fall flat on their face and drop to 14, which is good. But we'll talk about that and get some analysis of that. Isaac basically said, either you let me talk about the Jazz or I'm not coming in tomorrow. That's what he told me. So I'm letting him talk about the Jazz because I want him to come to work tomorrow here on 1600 ESPN. But we'll do that before 6. Sports menu on the way. We'll preview the rest of the night ahead later on before 6 o'clock here on 1600 ESPN. All right, let's get going here. What you missed at work today? You missed quite a bit. Here we go.
The sports world was just as busy as you were today. Here's what you missed while you were at work.
Have you heard the news?
On 1600 ESPN.
Let's start off actually with a quick check of the local baseball scoreboard. Mount Mercy baseball in action today. First round, opening round of the NAIA National Baseball Tournament. The Mustangs in Upland, Indiana. Their first game, Mount Mercy, by the way, the 4 seed. They took on the 5 seed Shawnee State out of Ohio, and it was all Shawnee State today. They beat Mount Mercy 12-1. That means Mount Mercy is next in action tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central against Abraham Baldwin of Georgia. Abraham Baldwin was a 16-10 loser. The wind must be blowing out in Upland, Indiana. That's a bold prediction. 16-10, Indiana Tech beat Abraham Baldwin. So Abraham Baldwin and Mount Mercy in an elimination game tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. That happened earlier today. Talk about it briefly to begin the program, but Iowa men's hoops, their head coach, Ben McCollum, has signed a contract extension. It was made official earlier today. His original contract with the University of Iowa ran through April 30th of 2031. His new deal now goes through 2032. Does get a pay increase. Buyout starts at $5 million. With that, McCollum saying in a statement, quote, he's incredibly thankful to President Wilson and Beth Getz for their continued belief in what we are building. He continued on saying that we have a strong foundation in place. We have great momentum moving forward. We're eager to build on our success and elevate this program at the highest level. At some wrestling over the weekend, in case you missed it, the Pan American Wrestling Championships were in Coralville this weekend, and a handful of players with Iowa ties picked up victories. Austin DeSanto at 61 kilos. He won a perfect 4-0 for Team USA Saturday at the Senior Pan American Championships in Coralville. 9-0 win over Caleb Smith to win gold at 61 kilos. Real Woods with a win as well. He won the championship at 65 kilos. And then on the women's side, Kylie Welker with a title, 76 kilograms. And then Everest Ledecker, I think I said that right. She is an incoming wrestler for the women's team for the Hawkeyes. She is the top-ranked incoming freshman. She won by tech fall at 55 kilos in the women's side of things. And we got some schedule nuggets. The NFL schedule reveal show is coming up later on this week, Thursday night to be exact. We know the Dallas Cowboys going to be in this will stun all of you. And I, Cowboy fans, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying. This will stun all of you. The Cowboys are going to be in primetime to start the season. I know. I can't believe I would drop that big of a headline on you on your way home from work. But the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants set to be the first Sunday night football game of the season, September 13th. NFL putting that out earlier today. It's the eighth time since 2012 the NFC East rivals will square off in their season opener. Of course, that's the debut for John Harbaugh as the head coach of the New York Giants. The Cowboys also, we know they're going to be on national TV on Thanksgiving Day. The Cowboys will host the Eagles on Thanksgiving Day on Fox. So a couple NFL schedule nuggets for you as well as we start a brand new week. Lots more scheduling nuggets and leaks to come out. And then they still do the two-hour show anyways to tell you, hey, here's the schedule. Even though beat writers just kind of put it out there. Ah, here it is. You guys don't need to watch the show. Here's the schedule. But a couple of primetime games known as of earlier today. There you go. A few stories that you may have missed at work from us here at 1600 ESPN.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Through 936-6-1600. Spencer on Sports here on a Monday afternoon, Monday evening. Drive time driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. On the way for you here, or continuing here, I should say, on Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Thanks to 2142 on the text line. Always appreciate traffic updates. We can only see so much here. We do our best to look at the cameras and follow when things are happening. But 2142 saying lots of southbound traffic on I-380 starting at the Swisher-Shueyville exit going southward towards North Liberty and Iowa City. So keep that in mind if you are headed that way. Still construction going on that section. We've had several, not today, but in the past, crashes happen that just essentially shut down the roadway. So keep that in mind. We'll get Isaac on that to look at the maps. Have you seen anything pop up? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it looks like it's kind of after the on-ramp from the Swisher sort of on-ramp there, and okay, then extends to like the bridge to the over the Coralville Reservoir or the Iowa River, somewhere over there is kind of when it starts to, okay, to let up.
Okay, very
so
good.
So that sort of section in between the on-ramp for Swisher and the Iowa River bridge, that's kind of where the traffic is.
Very good. Keep that in mind. That's 380 southbound if you're headed that way, going from Cedar Rapids down towards Iowa City. Keep that in mind. And again, we do appreciate traffic notifications on the text line. You can give us a call as well, 319-366-1600. Let's get things going. Kind of a newer segment. We've done this in pieces before, but I'm calling it Major League Baseball hot or not list. Good summer months segment here. Keep us up to speed on what's happening. Start off the brand new week taking a look at what's happening around Major League Baseball. Of course, we'll get you a Cubs report tomorrow on the show. Cubs taking on the Atlanta Braves as they're back in action tomorrow. But an eventful weekend across the major leagues, and I figure we can have some fun with this. Take a look at who's hot and who is, well, not in Major League Baseball. The not teams won't surprise you. The hot teams, I don't think, will surprise you either. There are a couple that maybe have flown under the radar recently, and there are some players out there, individual players who have had really big performances recently. So we'll react to those and more. Let's get things started on the hot side.
Ow! Oh, my God, that's hot!
Yeah, it is, especially when you look at the performances of some of the key players across Major League Baseball. Of course, I've seen a lot of talk, and it's great to see Mike Trout healthy. I feel like we need to knock on wood anytime we talk about Mike Trout, because I feel like he starts the season off on a tear, and then whether it's a back issue or a knee issue or something happens. So I think we're all kind of hoping that he stays healthy and gets done what he needs to get done. But when you talk about individuals who are having just crazy seasons, and I don't know, speaking of the Cubs, Cub fans are really, really sour, especially when the Cubs play the Phillies, to see Kyle Schwarber. I mean, you're happy for him. You're happy for success, right? We all have those players. Like, man, why did my team let that guy get away, right? And Kyle Schwarber, I know is that person for most, if not all, Cub fans. But he is actually challenging Ryan Howard for his career, for his single season franchise home run record for the Phillies. He challenged it. Ryan Howard is 58. Set back in 2006. Schwarber had 56 last year. Unlike Aaron Judge, I don't know if we're going to get the Schwarber tracker in the fall when they cut into the college football, Judge cut-ins and stuff like that. I don't know if we're going to do that for Schwarber, but Schwarber hit a couple of home runs against the Rockies, of all teams, on Sunday, a 6-0 victory, extending his home run streak to 4 games and his season total to 16. That's tied with Aaron Judge, speaking of Judge cut-ins, for the most in Major League Baseball. He's got 16 homers through 41 games. That puts him on pace for 63 home runs this year. So maybe we do get Kyle Schwarber cut-ins this season. But I think Schwarber will top my hot list to begin the new week here. If you don't pay attention to the Angels, I don't blame you. I really don't either, aside from Mike Trout. But Jose Soriano, if you've been following him, maybe not unless you're an Angels fan, but he was off to a great start to the year, a .24 ERA through his first 6 starts, was dealing with some neck stiffness against the White Sox in late April, gave up 5 runs over 4 innings, 3 runs over 5 innings against the White Sox in Chicago on April 28th, gave 5 runs on 4 frames against them on Monday. This past weekend, though, against the Blue Jays, he retired 20 batters in a row at one point in the game. His ERA and his record, 6-2 with a 1.66 ERA. My first thought was when I saw his numbers, when I saw what he was doing in baseball and how well he's pitching, how soon will the Angels trade him for someone? Trade him for prospects. Trade him for something. We know how the Angels operate. They bring in guys who are, I don't know if they're on their last legs, but I'm thinking the Miguel Sanos of the world. Veterans who've been around the league for a while, need a landing spot, and then they hope they have a great season so they can flip them for someone else. Except they don't flip Mike Trout. I know he has clauses in his contract and stuff like that, but the way they operate is pretty predictable. So I would not be surprised if Soriano was someone you saw later on this baseball season as someone at the trade deadline that is being shopped around. Sandy Alcantara is another name like that for the Miami Marlins. But 20 batters in a row against the Blue Jays yesterday certainly is something to notice. And then how about Bobby Witt Jr.? Bobby Witt and the Royals have not had a great start to the year. The Tigers beat them last night. Bobby Witt Jr., two-run inside the park home run on Saturday night. Came in a ground ball, which is pretty impressive. Royals won that game 5-1. Royals, when you talk about teams, they might not be the hottest team in baseball. I would not put them in that category. But they won Saturday. It was their seventh win in their last nine games since May began, and it helped them win that series against the Tigers. Witt, according to StatCast, Witt went from home to home in 14.13 seconds. I don't think I could do anything, let alone run, in 14.13 seconds. But is the fourth fastest home-to-home time in the StatCast era since that became a thing back in 2015. Byron Buxton did it twice. And then PCA, Pete Kerr Armstrong, did it back in August of 2024, 14.08 seconds. He wants to beat out Byron Buxton. Buxton's got the fastest time at 13.85. So next time he gets the opportunity, home-to-home, he's going to try to do it. And get there 13, he's got to be 13.84 seconds. That would be Byron Buxton. But so far, he's fourth on the list. That's fair. Could you do anything in 14.13 seconds? I don't think I could. Maybe something in the studio, like I could look up something that I have memorized here on the computer.
I feel like I could like finish a drink of some sort.
A drink?
Yeah.
Oh, like a full drink or just a...
I mean, it depends on the size. Half,
like a can of soda.
Yeah, maybe a can of something.
can of your beverage of choice, maybe not a soda. You could do whatever you want.
I feel like I can get at that in 14 seconds.
14 seconds. I've never tried. I'm an unk. I'm an old dude, so I'm not that old, but I'm an old dude, so I'd be like, no, I can't do it.
Some of it, there would be some spillage. I'll say that much.
That's
if I
true.
Were to try to
That's
drink
true.
It, yeah.
That is true. Spillage. Listeners, could you do anything in 14.13 seconds? 319-366-1600. And play. I'm opening myself up for some non-radio friendly. Is there anything like day to day you could do? 14.13 seconds. At work, is there anything you could do in 14.13 seconds? 319-366-1600. I don't think there is. I can look up something that I have. We have like I have codes for stuff. Like some of the clips you hear, like, let's see, I'll just play something around.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
Mike Gundy speaking from the heavens. I know the code for that. I could type it in and find it and put it on the air. I can do that probably in less than 14 seconds. But running, no. I'm a large individual running in 14.13 seconds. Not going to happen. Hot list, we'll wrap up with a look at some of the hot teams in baseball. Cubs, even though they lost 2 of 3 to Texas, they still are one of the hottest teams in baseball. 10-game win streak, second of the season, followed up by 2 losses and a series loss to Texas, still one of the hottest teams in baseball. They are facing off with the Braves. Braves won 2 of 3 in Los Angeles against the Dodgers over the weekend. They have not necessarily been the hottest team in Major League Baseball when you look at just over the last 10 games. Braves, they are 6-4 in the last 10, while the Cubs are 8-2. The Cubs are, over the last 10, playing a little bit better, at least winning more games consistently. But the Braves sitting at 28-13, Cubs 27-14. So that certainly is a series to watch this week. I'll put Milwaukee. I got to put Milwaukee on the hot list. Swept the Yankees. A lot of people are like, they swept the Yankees. Means everything, means nothing. Sweeping the Yankees in May. Milwaukee won the season series with the Dodgers last year. And look what happened in the playoffs.
I mean, it gave you hope.
It gave me hope, but I already have had a steel-toed boot to the you-know-what many, many times in the playoffs.
I'm sure you are a Wisconsin sports fan.
I am. So I know better than to. I'm going to celebrate it. Bryce Terang with the walk-off on Mother's Day yesterday. That was fantastic, but I'm not gonna say it guarantees anything. I know better. I've seen this movie before. Very, very simply. I've seen the movie before.
I would say, are we allowed to put a whole league in the not list? Because the AL, four teams above 500 is a joke. I mean, there's the NL Central has five teams that are all above 500.
Yeah.
The AL total has four teams above 500. Like, and this is Tigers included in there. Like, they've not been great. Obviously, they're below 500. Mm-hmm. One of the many teams in the AL below 500. Man, the AL has just been terrible. To start, like, up and down. Like, obviously, the top's pretty good, but broadly speaking, the AL's just been so bad this season.
Your four teams, and I had one more team on the hot list, is one of the teams above 500, the Tampa Bay Rays. I feel like they've gone unnoticed because I was looking up, you know, okay, who's playing well. I know in general kind of who's had good starts to the year. The Rays are 14-2 since April 22nd, and it's them and the Yankees. Yankees are actually a game back of the Rays in the AL East right now, but it's the Rays, the Yankees, the Guardians are 21-21, and then the Athletics are 21-19. So there's three teams above 500 in the entire league, whereas you have the National League Central, where everybody's above 500. Even the teams that are playing the quote unquote worst right now are above 500. Padres and Dodgers are both above 500, and the Braves are too. So that's 5, 6, 7. That's eight. Eight teams in the NL, five from one division, whereas the AL can only manage three. It's early, but maybe the AL's just bad. I don't know. But it certainly is interesting to look at the trends. And we're far enough into the season. I think we've played baseball over a month now.
Yeah.
It's not, it's only the first week of the season. Now, opening day was March 26th.
There's enough of a sample size.
Yeah. So you can tell. And this is where the trade deadline becomes, it's still ways away. But as you get further into May, you get into June, you start to see, okay, who's going to make a difference here? Who's going to make the right moves? And we'll see what happens in the end. But I think the AL deserves to be on the not list.
Yeah, I was like, it's hard to say specifically one team. Like, I'm sure there are like teams you could single out in the AL, but it's broadly speaking been so brutal that it feels wrong to specifically say one team in the AL's been bad. But for the Rays, on your Rays point, that's just kind of, it feels like that's just the Rays way, where every now and then you just kind of look at the standings, you look at the record, you're like, oh wow. Like, you just kind of look down, you're like, how are they doing? Like, oh, they're just doing so well, and it's because they don't have any of the stars, because they don't pay them, and then they eventually trade them off, and then mm-hmm. this is just kind of the cycle for the Rays, right, where every once in a while you look down, you're like, oh wow, they're actually an excellent baseball team this season, and then 2 years when they get pillaged by all the big markets, they'll be bad again, and then they'll rebuild.
Where they have a great farm system, which allows them to continue to trade away different guys like a Willie Adames who's struggled with the Giants, but you trade him from Tampa to Milwaukee, and then they have guys they just slot in, right? And of course, not everybody in their prospects turns into great players, but they have the assets to flip when they need to. And they started investing in some of their talent, but we know how small market teams, Tampa, Milwaukee, even Pittsburgh, right, they operate. Okay, you got X amount of years. Better win now, otherwise it's not going to be. It's going to be just kind of that whole movement thing, with that. Not list. I didn't officially kick it off, but here is
not exactly the best and brightest.
The not list official kickoff. I had the Cincinnati Reds on my not list. Yeah, I like your nomination for the AL. Period. You could put the Reds on there. They started the year 20-11. They're 2-8 in their last 10, sitting at 22-19. They had a disastrous series both on the scoreboard and off the scoreboard against the Cubs that really set them back, dropped them to the bottom of the National League Central. The Mets have a permanent spot. They're like Doc Rivers on the LVP list. The Mets have a permanent spot. And then I feel bad for the Rockies because, I mean, they have some good prospects, right? But again, I'm not a Rockies fan, but they're still, it feels like at some point when they get these contributors to start contributing in the future, they're going to be okay. Like a Charlie Condon when he's finally ready. Brody Brecht is in their minor league system. Chase Dolander is one of their top pitching prospects who's now up with the big league club. They're kind of like the Angels in a way where they have some exciting players, exciting young guys. But then they kind of fill in their roster with remember some guys, level, mid-level talent, and it's tough for me to pick on the Rockies because I think they just kind of intentionally do what they do to, I don't know, not necessarily stay bad, but they, I don't know if they make enough strides, put enough into the team to get to where they want to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those situations where they could invest more if they wanted to. It's just, and part of me understands where, like, if your team's super young, why put in, or you're banking on, like, your prospects coming through and developing still, mm-hmm. why, like, spend big right now, wait a couple years until they're better? And I understand that logic, but also, you can't just be, like, terrible every year. You're going to totally lose any semblance of a fan base you could have. So, like, they definitely could spend our... able or should be able to spend more than they do. I'm not saying you gotta hand out a 10-year deal or anything like that,
right,
but
right.
like you can still work on your like sort of timeline and have these limited like 4-year, 5-year deals. But you definitely could spend more and be semi-competitive eventually. But maybe I don't know. Maybe the better strategy is just waiting for your guys to develop and have them all hit the big leagues at the same time.
Like in the outfield, Mickey Moniak. First round, I think number, was he a number one overall pick? Mickey Moniak for the Angels number of years ago. I think he went Angels, Philly, now Colorado. He's having a career year in Colorado, right? But he's probably considered a bust by most people. Then you see in their infield, Willie Castro, Edward Julian, two former Twins there, right? And then you look at their pitching. Pitching here, Jose Quintana. I mean, Michael Lorenzen, wasn't he somewhere else? I know Kyle Freeland is one of their homegrown kind of guys. So is Dolander, but it's just kind of it's a weird mix. And I think they're placeholders. Those guys are placeholders until other players are ready. But I just don't know if they're gonna be ready and truly in contention any time soon. And they're in the NL West too. Dodgers, Padres, even Giants. When they're that's a great division.
Yeah, I was gonna say if they're in the AL, they're still in the division race for a lot of them. Yeah,
probably that is for sure. 319-366-1600. That is your MLB hot and not list for a Monday. We'll recap the weekend and look at who's playing the best and who's playing the worst in terms of Major League Baseball each week here on the show. 319-366-1600. We'll circle back to some hoops. NBA draft lottery was yesterday. Isaac wants to take a victory lap. That's totally fine. And are we starting up the Giannis rumor mills again? The rumor mill again for the Greek freak. Shams is. We know he is. He's got beef with the city of Milwaukee and the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll talk about that and talk about where things landed with the draft lottery next here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather. This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports back for a Monday afternoon. Appreciate you joining the program here. Hanging out for another 25 minutes or so. Talk line, text line open. If you want to get your thoughts in here as we sprint toward the finish line here for this May 11th edition of the show. A reminder, you can register now for the 14th annual Shoot from the Heart Clay Shoot benefiting the American Heart Association. The event is coming up Friday, June 5th, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. Registration ending coming up a week from Friday, May 22nd. And it'll be a great day on the range supporting life-saving heart research and education right here in eastern Iowa. If you want more details about the event, you can check it out on our website, kgymradio.com. 319-366-1600. All right, let's talk a little bit more hoops here.
Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
Basketball, 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 basketball.
From the corner.
Swish.
Well, the teams that won the lottery over the weekend, certainly hoping to hear swish quite a bit. You're a Washington Wizards fan, you're a Utah Jazz fan, even a Memphis or a Bulls fan. You feel pretty good if you're... Well, if you're the Pacers, we talked about them earlier in the show. We buried the Pacers in a Pacers, Kings, Nets, that kind of area. You're not feeling too great after the results of the lottery. But one person who is, Isaac, you're wearing the same Keontae George jersey you were on Friday.
That's
it was
right.
Good luck then. It was good luck this weekend. I'm gonna give you the opportunity for a victory lap because your team did not crater. They did not stay where they were. They moved up two spots to the number two pick in the draft. That's a big day for Jazz fans.
Yeah,
Go ahead, sir.
I legitimately think it's one of the like five best moments of Jazz fandom in my lifetime. So like that excludes obviously the Stockton Malone era sort of stuff, or the Pistol Pete era sort of stuff. But it has the potential to be a total sort of franchise changer. And I think actually the first and second picks are really interesting teams just based from a team building standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Wizards and Jazz both made moves this regular season, like win now moves or win next year moves. So both teams are positioned to be pretty competitive in either the Eastern or Western conferences, and are still kind of missing maybe a marquee superstar to lift them over the top to true title contention. But you look at the Wizards with Trae Young and Anthony Davis, and then you have the Jazz who have Keontae George, Lauri Markkanen, Jaren Jackson Jr., and then Walker Kessler will be back. And either, you know, you get, take your pick of Ace Bailey, Darren Peterson, A.J. DeBonsa in that two spot for him. Like, it has the potential if A.J. DeBonsa or Darren Peterson sort of live up to the hype and the sort of promise they've shown in college at the NBA level, for both the Wizards and the Jazz, like, they could be total franchise changers and really elevate to it the teams to a level they haven't seen in quite a long time.
Weird to note, too, the Wizards, the second straight team to win the lottery after trading for Anthony Davis. The Mavs won it last year. Of course, the Nico Harrison, now you see the vision. Huh? What? Do we see the vision? I don't know. But the second straight team to win the lottery after trading for Anthony Davis, the Wizards, the first team to win the lottery after finishing with the league's worst record under the current format, which took place back in 2019. I guess the question is, if you're the Wizards, what makes the most sense? I mean, I've seen some rumors that they might shop the pick.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
That they might try to move down.
I've seen Utah might try to move up to one to secure
DeBonsa. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of rumors that start up right after the draft, but you look at mock drafts and it's going to be a lot of either or. ESPN, Jeremy Wu, DeBonsa number one, Darren Peterson number two, Cam Boozer number three, and then Caleb Wilson from North Carolina going number four. I wouldn't be surprised if it was either or, right? I know the Jazz would love, like you were talking about earlier in the show, DeBonsa to be number one.
Yeah.
Or to fall to them at number two, yep. Right? Or maybe they move up to get to number one. Either way, two teams that, like you said, made win now kind of moves this season. Maybe they didn't pay off in the immediate, you know, time frame. That's gonna be good for a potential good luck for them. That's luck of the lottery, right? To get that spot, and be in a position to draft a potential franchise changing player, and certainly the Wizards and the Jazz too. But the Wizards especially, they need someone who can come in and boost that roster. I don't know how good they're gonna be next year, even with the ads that they made, but. It's a good day in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Especially for basketball fans.
Yeah, I mean, and you can have a total sort of just in Washington. And like we've mentioned throughout the playoffs, the East is just super wide open. You get to the top and there's only two or three teams right now that are true contenders in the East year in and year out. And I think Washington has correctly identified, like, hey, if we just add a couple of pieces and then have a young star, like, we can really, truly compete in this conference with several big teams. Now, again, there's other moves they would have to make along the sort of peripherals to boost the overall roster, but the core would be there for Washington. And then for Utah, the West is brutal. And so they kind of recognized you can't just, if you're going to be ready to compete in the West, it can't just be, you know, two or three pieces. You need a full starting five, and you need to have a couple of guys off your bench that you're comfortable playing if you want to be a legit playoff contender in the West. And, whether that's Darren Peterson, whether that's A.J. DeBonsa for the Jazz or Wizards, it's clear those were the 1-2 guys on most boards. And for a lot of people, they have the sort of highest ceiling, potential upside scoring-wise, overall-wise. And both teams are so needy that I don't think you, although they play similar, they could be utilized in similar ways. They are still sort of different style of players, but I don't think Wizards or Jazz are ready enough or good enough teams to have to worry about like fit or anything like that. Like they're still pretty barren talent wise from like a high level standpoint where they can just get the best player available. And I do believe that's AJ and Darren Peterson. As a Jazz fan, I want AJ just for the Utah connection. I think storyline wise would make sense. For the Jazz, would be awesome because you have a star who potentially would want to enjoys living in Utah, which is kind of difficult to come by. But I think if you're a Jazz fan or a Wizards fan, you're not upset with either one of AJ or Darren Peterson.
Mock draft wise, just to look at where Jeremy Wu from ESPN has Iowa players or players with Iowa ties landing. He has Bennett Sturts landing number 21 overall to the Detroit Pistons. And then you go a little bit further down. He has the Mavs at number 30, taking Joshua Jefferson out of Iowa State. And then a couple picks later, number 35 overall, Milan Momcilovic going to the Spurs at number 35 there. Just looking at any further names here. I think those are the three that you're going to expect. Sturts, Jefferson, and Milan probably are the three that you'll see get drafted here. I did see earlier today, I don't have Jefferson or Momcilovic available. I don't know if Momcilovic got invited. He invited to the draft combine, Momcilovic? I think he did. But Bennett Sturts, his measurements, according to Jonathan Gavoni. I'm not a contract expert. I'm not an NBA measurement expert. And I don't know what this information provides to really anybody. But Bennett Sturts, 6'2.5". 186 pounds, a 6'6 wingspan, and 8'2.5 standing reach. So do with that information what you will. I don't know. He's going to be a first-round pick. Not a lottery pick, but he'll be a first-round pick. I think he'll be a key contributor, Sturts will. I think all three of those guys, I think Momcilovic, right? I think second round kind of sharpshooter off the bench. He's kind of going the A.J. Green route.
Yeah.
Really, Momcilovic is. Like, if he ends up being a second-round pick, I think he'll be, you know, Green, he didn't get drafted. He latched on with Milwaukee, right? But he'll carve out his role, right, if he can get the volume to continue.
Yeah, as long as you can
teams
will
a sharp
take three-point shooting, yeah.
Right.
Especially with specific systems, if they're looking for someone like, I mean, the Spurs in particular, I mean, you have Wemby right in the middle and you want him to, you presumably want to surround him with 3-point shooters to kind of leave the paint unclogged and give him space to operate. So it would make a ton of sense for someone like Milan to go to San Antonio.
And then Jefferson, 30th overall, versatile kind of big man, right? I think Dallas could use that, pair him alongside Cooper Flagg too. I think that's a solid spot to land, right?
They all have like very clear roles they would fulfill right away. Like Sturts would just be a secondary ball handler, someone who can efficiently run an offense, kind of distribute it.
Yeah.
Milan would be a sharpshooter, and Jefferson would be kind of like a ball handling big man, I guess is the best way. I don't know how to put it really, but like you said, versatile big man. Yeah, like someone who can be used in a multitude of ways. They all have sort of roles they would fulfill and specific sort of, they are more fit players. Like, you're drafting this player for fit, you have a specific role for them in mind already if you're a team drafting them, but they're obviously useful. I think they'd be useful at the NBA level.
If you're the Bucks, what do you do? I mean, the rumors have started again with Giannis. They're at 10. They stayed where they were supposed to be. Shams Charania reporting the Bucks are open for business on trade talks involving Giannis. Do you come up with a package? Because the offers that you're going to get for him and him alone with one team, I feel like are not going to be good enough. Miami's and I think Minnesota's were they were so enamored with Golden State. At least the reporting said they were enamored with Golden State's package last year. I don't think there's one specific team that you could go. You're not going to do a one for one swap, but like a swap with enough players, enough picks. You're going to have to get multiple teams involved.
Yeah,
if Giannis does get traded. I don't necessarily know who they're going to take with the number 10 pick. I keep seeing Nate Amet from Tennessee at number 10. Jimmy Haslam went to Tennessee, so there's some thought that he's kind of like, hey, John Horst, y'all should draft Nate Amet at number 10. Like, no, don't listen to Jimmy Haslam. Take someone there. take someone who contributed. I think Ament can. He's got potential, but he's a one-and-done player. So, I don't know. The Bucks need to get it right. The Bucks need to get younger. They need talent.
Yeah.
And they can't be doing what they did a couple seasons ago where they needed to get talent that can contribute right away and draft A.J. Johnson over Terrence Shannon Jr.
Right.
You can't do that. You cannot do that again. You cannot draft Thon Maker, the equivalent of Thon Maker, when some insert player, Yaxel Lendeborg, is there. You cannot do that. So I don't know what route they go. I think I don't want Giannis to leave. I think there's still a chance Milwaukee does keep him. But I would not be surprised if this was finally the time, because then we knew they were going to revisit it. The trade deadline deals were not good enough, right? The offers that were coming in were not good enough. I think this is finally the time that if he's going to get moved, he'll get moved. It's simple as that with the draft.
Yeah, it certainly seems more, it seems closer than it ever has. I'm more on the side of, like, I think this is finally time, just because the Bucks are so far away from contention. Like, I just don't see a path towards contention for him right now. And I truly do believe Giannis believes he can win at least one more championship in his career and is still playing at a high enough level to be a major contributor on a championship level team. For the Bucks, for me, it would just be all about classic rebuild, get all the picks you can. It's tough because whoever you trade Giannis to is probably going to be pretty good. Therefore, their picks are not going to be great. So that's where the third team kind of gets involved, where maybe you can figure out a way to. And I don't know where all of Milwaukee's picks are. I don't know if they would have to, if they still own New Orleans some from the Drew trade, or how many they owe from the Dame trade. But if the Bucks can figure out ways to sort of regain their picks or regain the draft rights to all of their first round picks, so they can just go and kind of go full tank mode. Maybe not full tank mode based off of how the picks are changing, the lottery odds are changing, but kind of go tank mode and just be bad for a little bit. Hope you get some high draft picks and totally reset the franchise. That's kind of the route I would go if I was Milwaukee. Accumulate as many picks as you can get. Hopefully they're your own.
The future needs to be in sight, right? Like their future plans need to be executed. I think that's the biggest thing, because they have kept trying to stick the piece of wood in the window, the championship window, with Giannis to keep it open. And if they feel like they can do that, fine. But I don't think they can. And it's sad, but that's just the reality of it. So we'll see what happens in the end. 319-366-1600. We'll take a quick timeout, come back, and wrap things up with the sports menu. Kind of a lighter night in sports, but we'll preview what's coming up tonight in just a bit here on 1600 ESPN.
You know, operate in Virginia by Chev.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports for another couple minutes here on a Monday. Reminder, you can register now, kgymradio.com, for a chance to win $500 courtesy of our friends at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers in downtown Iowa City. It's our spring check-in to win cash. All you have to do is enter kgymradio.com. Fill out the form now for your chance at $500. Guaranteed to one local winner. Also in an entry once you enter. Also in a contest once you enter, I should say, for a chance at $5,000, part of a national multi-station contest. We reveal the local winner a week from Wednesday. So keep that in mind. Get your entry in now. If you have not entered, it's very simple. Go to kgymradio.com and enter today. 319-366-1600. Let's get to the sports menu.
What are you eating?
Instant mashed potatoes for frozen TV dinners.
And I want to know why it didn't have mayonnaise.
Okay. On the menu today, we have.
Let's start off with Major League Baseball. Kind of quiet night in baseball tonight. Two games currently in progress. You got four more after that. The only Central Division team playing tonight is the Cleveland Guardians. They lead the Angels 2-0. Top half of the third there from Progressive Field in Cleveland. Yankees and Orioles scoreless bottom half of the first from Camden Yards. And then coming up later on tonight, Tampa Bay at Toronto, 6:07 first pitch there. Drew Rasmussen and Kevin Gausman, your mound matchup in that one. Diamondbacks and the Rangers tonight from Globe Life Field in Arlington. Michael Soroka on the hill for the Diamondbacks. Jacob Junis, Milwaukee Brewers legend Jacob Junis, on the hill for the Texas Rangers tonight. 7:05 start time there. Mariners are in Houston for an AL West showdown at 7:10. George Kirby and Peter Lambert, your pitching matchup in that one. And then you've got the Giants and the Dodgers. No love lost in that rivalry, that is for sure. Trevor McDonald will get the start for the Giants opposite Roky Sasaki for the Los Angeles Dodgers. That game, a 9-10 first pitch. There you go. That's baseball tonight. Major League Baseball tonight. Everybody else back in action tomorrow. You've got the Cubs, of course, at the Braves. Royals are in Chicago against the White Sox. Twins and Marlins tomorrow. Brewers and Padres. And the Cardinals are out in Sacramento against the Athletics tomorrow night. So all those teams, except for Cleveland, off tonight in Major League Baseball. NBA action tonight. You've got two games tonight, two game fours here this evening. One series could end tonight. That is the Thunder and the Lakers. Is it LeBron's last game? I find it hard to believe he's going to go out getting swept 4-0 and without the proper LeBron farewell tour in the NBA. That's my personal belief. I don't know. I think the Thunder sweep him. Or maybe I can see one of two things happening. The Thunder do what they've been doing and just dominate them start to finish and sweep the series. Or the Lakers keep hope alive. LeBron has a quote-unquote legacy game kind of thing. They need Luka back. They need Austin Reeves. They need a supporting cast beyond LeBron. So I will take the Thunder a 12.5-point favorites. I think the Thunder close it out tonight.
Yeah, I would say the Thunder close it out as well. Yeah, unfortunately, round two, not as fun as round one. But, yeah, I think the Thunder, there's just a big talent gap. It is really unfortunate that we're going to see Luka again. Like, I do think, not that it would have changed much in the series, but it would have been more interesting to see Luka out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if only we had a commissioner who cared about stuff like that and had made the obvious solution to that everyone has said, but he refuses to do because it'd be less money for the league.
9:30 on Prime for that. That is preceded by a series that won't end tonight, but Detroit can take a 3-1 series lead. They go to Cleveland, 7 o'clock on NBC. Cleveland, a 3.5-point favorite. Cavs stayed alive with a big win over the weekend on Saturday, 116-109. Hockey tonight, only one game on the schedule. Minnesota and Colorado. The Avalanche up 2-1. That's at 7 o'clock on ESPN. So that's your sports menu for tonight. I'll be watching some playoffs for sure. Probably basketball and maybe switch over to hockey, but we'll get some things done. I have some things that need to get done before I take off some time at the end of the week here. Show programming note, short show tomorrow and Wednesday. Cubs pregame show starts at 5:40 for a 6:15 first pitch. So short show tomorrow and Wednesday. Then I'm off Thursday, Friday, and next Monday. So you'll get Freddie and Harry from ESPN Radio. The Cubs start at 5:40 again Thursday. Cubs will be on against the White Sox right after on Friday. And then I got an extra day off on Monday. Cubs and Brewers on Monday. We'll have stuff to talk about on Tuesday. We always have stuff to talk about, but we'll look back at that on Tuesday when I'm back. So here tomorrow, here Wednesday for short shows, and then a little time off for yours truly. So looking forward to that here later on this week. But of course, we'll be here talking sports with you on 1600 ESPN. That'll do it for the program here today. Again, thanks for joining in on the program. As always, if you missed anything, podcast available at kgymradio.com. We will be back tomorrow. Got some college football topic. I saw an interesting piece from CBS. We'll debate it. Has to do with Iowa and top 25 teams, the way too early top 25 teams that they put out. An actual discussion about that. Not who's ranked highest, who deserves the spot, nothing like that. But I think an interesting conversation you can have at this juncture of the season. Also going to discuss playoff action. We'll talk Cubs. We got a Cubs report and more tomorrow, so looking forward to that. From 4 until 5:40 here on 1600 ESPN. Amber and Ian up next. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. Every-